Hello everyone, my name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is brought to you by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Network. And this is part two of the interview that we started last time with Mr. Scott Hartman. And he's here again with us, and he's going to talk about an amazing story that happened to him just a year or two ago. And we're going to take up from where we left off the last time. So Scott, it's great being with you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, William. Thank you.
Can't wait to hear about this story again that you were telling us about last time.
I appreciate the opportunity again. And, life is just so funny sometimes, William. You don't know what to expect, and sometimes you think you grind it out and you're caught up in the moment, and sometimes you don't look at the bigger picture of really what life's all about, you know. And of course, everybody gets tied up in their professions and the career and try to accumulate all this, you know, wealth and how much we can make and how much this, and it's all fun as part of the game. But when it comes down to it, really, I think you have to look at the humanitarian side of things and how we could help society and how we could make it a better place. You know, because some people are born with a higher spiritual understanding of really what life's about, and some people are not born with some of those skills and don't have that consciousness. I mean, everybody's at a different level of consciousness. And, my son, I have two boys, you know, and my both of them are overachievers. My youngest son, first of all, my oldest son goes to Florida State University. He'll be graduating this year. During the whole pandemic, since he was at home, you know, he decided to get his real estate license at 18. He just turned 18, so he had that under his belt. And then my youngest son was a football star in South Florida. And then he had a 4.95 GPA, and he got a scholarship grant to go to Wash U in St. Louis, Missouri. They're paying him $320,000 to study and play football. So he's having a great time over there and really meeting a lot of great people and connections, and they're both learning a lot, so I'm very, very proud of them. But one thing I try to explain to them, because my younger one's a lot more competitive than my older one, and he's very, very, got a very strong type A personality, and whatever he touches, he's the top. And ever since he's a little kid, I've been trying to teach him, because he played a lot of team sports, especially football. You know, and I said, look, you're always going to be great. You're always good because you just have that kind of personality. You have that mental toughness and capacity and ability. What's now, it's bringing you satisfaction and making all your achievements that you're making. But one day you have to realize that if you bring somebody that's, let's say, out of a scale of 1 to 10, if they're a 7, if you could bring them to an 8 or 8.5, and they couldn't do that without you, that's going to bring you more satisfaction than you being a 10. Now I know you're a 10, but you're going to get more satisfaction bringing other people around you up to a higher level, and it's going to bring you more spiritual, soul, food for your soul kind of thing. So that's why I try to explain to my kids, it's trying to have that kind of more of an aspect, and it took him a long time, and he's just starting to learn that now, and really what, he wants to be, because my wife is a personal trainer, nutritionist, so her job is actually going out helping people that are medically sick, that are on all these arthritis medicines and all these nutrition medicines and all these autoimmune, problems. It's all nutrition-based, and my wife does an amazing job, and my son also, since he's been in athletics, he's taught the whole nutrition thing, so he just became NASM certified, so he's a personal trainer now at Wash U, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to help people. That's really what his goal is now. So it took me many years to transform, but he's starting to get it, and it's wonderful to see. Back to my experience, which also helps me. I always had that kind of mentality, but going back to what happened to me with my with my spirit or being or energy or that I was with. Mm-hmm. Going back there, I look at that, even though I didn't see a face, it was definitely a female presence, in a weird kind of way. It was almost like a real traditional kind of like flying kind of spirit with like white. It was like a white figure with the almost like a gown kind of like floating. It's very hard to explain.
Now, what you're talking about is the time when you were taken to the hospital. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I was,
and you could not breathe. Just to give our audience a background,
yes,
as to
absolutely,
what happened just prior to.
I was traveling from New York back down to North Carolina, and I had an instance where I felt like I couldn't breathe. So I tried to go over to Walgreens to buy some medicine, Mucinex, and just to break up my phlegm or whatever was in my throat. It didn't help. Then I went to a walk-in clinic. It was during the pandemic, so the walk-in clinic wouldn't let me in. I told them I couldn't breathe. They told me I needed to go to an emergency room. After I left them, my throat completely closed. I was able to make it over to the emergency room, driving around for around 10 minutes with my throat completely closed, with no air or oxygen coming in. I couldn't talk on the phone. I couldn't even call anybody. But thank God Google Maps directed me, One good thing about Google, I guess, directed me over to the emergency room. I left my car right in the middle of the street, put it in park. This is in D.C., in the middle of the city. Went into, George Washington Hospital over there. And I told the reception, I had to move my lips because there was no air coming into my throat. I told her I couldn't breathe. She pushed a button within like a minute. Or 30 seconds to a minute, I was surrounded by like 20 people working on me, doing tests, and to find out that my throat was completely closed. I had 0% airflow that was going through my esophagus. About a minute later, I passed out. Physically, I woke up 10 days later. I was still, they had me on ketamine drip. They had me on what they told me a triple dose, while they had a tube down my throat because they had to open up my airway. I almost had a tracheotomy, emergency tracheotomy, because there was no air. They almost cut my throat open so I could get air, but they were able to finally put a tube down it. Later I found out I had a pulmonary embolism, which is basically a blood clot that starts, in your vein, in your legs, and it works your way up to your lung. And it's almost like, like a stroke is a blood clot in your brain. A pulmonary embolism is a blood clot in your lung. So basically, it goes to your lung. And then the doctor told me if I wouldn't have been there within a few minutes, that was it. Because what the pulmonary embolism does, it'll then explode or go up to your brain and explode, and you die instantly. So I was, around 70% of the people that have a pulmonary don't make it. So another one, I was at 30%, about a third that was actually survivable. But, that's why you try to take everything for granted. Try to bring peace, love, and happiness that you can bring joy to everybody around you. You never know how long you'll be here. And love is way too beautiful, and people are way too beautiful,
You mentioned that you saw an angel.
Mm-hmm.
When you were there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the last time. And in the scripture, in the book of Hebrews, I believe, it talks about sometimes we entertain angels without knowing it. And, of course, angels come in different forms. But it's kind of a heavy spiritual discussion, I guess, that some people might not be interested in a great deal. But tell us about that angel you mentioned the last time.
The angel was, like I said, it's hard, very hard to describe. It was basically like I had a spirit, and like I said, the spirit was very almost like a traditional kind of like what you see in like the movies and stuff, where almost like a white kind of, it's not like a face, it's not like a, you don't really see a person, it's more of like an energy, and it's almost like you know, flying around like air in the wings with almost like, you know, what you traditionally see, kind of like maybe a painting or a picture of like, you know, something almost like a gown-like, almost like a smoke-like, you know, figure. And like I said, she was like, we were walking down a path, and on both sides of the path were like almost like monitors, kind of oversized monitor screens, like the full size. And it was just like different parts of my life, with different like situations of emotional times of things that I've been through, and almost like a warmth, like everything's gonna be okay, you know, like everything is, you know, because, you know, sometimes in this earth, you know, we get these panic attacks of exactly who we are and where we are, and what's our purpose here, and we're all just trying to figure that out, you know. And she was almost just like, everything's gonna be okay, like, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, like I say, we're only here for a short time in our bodies. And some of the things that happened to me when I was in my 10-day, you know, trance or were so vivid and so real that even after I woke up, knowing that I was for the past 10 days, I thought I woke up, got almost when you get checked out of the hospital, I thought I actually went to that process, and then they told me no, I needed to go back in. When my wife came to actually pick me up, I asked her, I said, did I ever leave the hospital in 10 days? Some of the things just happened, just were like so vivid, and like it's just very hard to explain, and we all like out of body experiences.
And we're gonna talk about, or at least you're going to talk about some of those things when we return. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now, and we'll be back with Scott and his amazing story. So stay with us. Welcome back. We're here with Scott Hartman, and he's telling us an amazing story about his experience, and we're going to continue with that at this time. And tell us about the time when, as far as your recovery, what happened exactly that I guess completed the miracle, actually, that you experienced?
You know, I don't remember exactly like the last things I can remember while I was under for 10 days. And I don't remember exactly, like, you know, some people will say, well, I remember my soul going like back to my body or that kind of thing. Nothing like that was any like in my recollection, so I don't remember any of that. I do remember waking up, you know, in a very paranoid kind of state because I had out there, you know, with the hallucinogenics that they were giving me, I was like combative because I had a tube down my throat. So there were times that where I was, you know, combative towards the nurses, so they had me strapped to the bed. So both my arms were strapped to the bed, and I remember sometimes, you know, being, you know, forcefully held down, if you know what I mean. Not to my recollection, but I was combative towards, you know, because I was being strapped down with a tube down my throat, you know, being tripped out. So it was hard for me to understand exactly what was going on. So I was almost felt like a might sound weird, but I got so paranoid that I almost felt like I was a guinea pig in a psych ward. You know, after 10 days of this, it was just very, very overpowering for your mind to comprehend what was going on. And the visuals from the hallucinogenics were very, very, very extreme. So mentally it was hard to, but once the drugs wore off, you know, and you get your sense of reality of what, you know, when I first came up, the doctors came to me, and I didn't know what. I thought I was there for 3 months. He's like, "How long have you been here?" I said, "I don't know, 3 months." He's like, "Oh, it's been 10 days," you know. He said, "Well, you have anybody to call?" You know, the first person I said, "I want to call my dad." Now this is in 2021. My dad passed away in 2010, and the first person I wanted to call was my dad. You know, so you know. My mind was still in the spirit world, you know what I mean? And I was coming now into the physical world, and I was halfway in, halfway out. And it took a minute to realize that my dad's not here anymore, you know. And then you come back to reality, and it's just, in one respect, it's very scary to know that in a second you could be here, you could be there. You don't know, and it's not up to you. It's really up to God whether you're here or there, and you got to appreciate everything again. Like I said before, you got to appreciate who you are. You know, where you are, who's around you, the love that you give, the help that you give people, and to be there for people. And that's really what really helps, you know, more and more is really the conclusion what I've come down to.
And speaking of God, you mentioned that of all you went through, did your experience change your feeling about your connection with God or the reality of God in your life?
I think it made me deeper. You know, I've always been more and more, you know, like I said, on the spiritual side, much more than organized religion. You know, I don't want to get too deep on that organized religion kind of thing, but I think everybody has their own spirituality and what they feel is, you know, what feels good for them and what's good for their soul and their family and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't really know what to say about that kind of thing, but I just want to stay more on the peace, love, and happiness that all, you know, all religions can bring. But I still think a lot of the religions are there just to divide us and to conquer us and not bring us together as humanitarians. You know, it's almost like are you blue or are you red? Instead of just saying, are you American? Because American means you're human. You know what I mean? And I think that should come first more than any color or any race or any religion. I think we're all human beings.
Right. Well, you know, Jesus himself came to us and said that he wanted us to live life more abundantly. So he's basically saying what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But tell us the ending to this story. Did the doctors do everything that they were supposed to do to help you in your plight in this situation?
You know, I really do appreciate what they have accomplished. Now, I have different, you know, thinkings as far as our medical industry. I think our emergency care here in America is the best that's in the world. You know, I've traveled the world a lot, spent over 20 years going to China, spent many years going to Europe. So I've seen a lot of part of the world and very well-rounded when it comes to other cultures and that kind of stuff. So what I feel over here is like I said, our emergency side is the best in the world. It's our everyday healthcare that has been taken over by the pharmaceutical industry. And if you take a look at our life expectancy here in the United States versus any other developed country, we're actually going down in lifespan in years versus everywhere else is going up. And the reason for that is our nutrition and our pharmaceuticals and everything else that they're pushing upon us that is not the proper nutrition and diet that's healthy for a human being. And all the media and the schools and everything is just being dumbed down and just to keep us, you know, sick and not to give us the proper nutrition and not to give us the proper diet. And that's how I feel about our everyday general doctors in America, basically owned by the pharmaceutical companies, you know.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take a break, a final break, and we'll come back with Scott Hartman, and we'll finish the show. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're here with Mr. Scott Hartman, and he's continuing to tell us his amazing story about what happened to him a few years ago. His survival of that situation. And so, Scott, again, it's great being with you today. And
thank you so much.
Kind of finish things up.
Yeah, it was an incredible, that was very, very unique experience, you know, to go through something like that. It definitely changes your aspect and how you perceive things and what you appreciate more. And it almost slows you down in a way where, you know, because you learn to smell the roses, let's say, kind of, you know, per se, and it makes you appreciate things that you wouldn't normally appreciate. Because when you're forced to slow down, and it makes you think about really what's important to you, you know, what life's all about, you know. And you know, when I left the hospital, you know, took me a few days to recoup mentally. You know, I couldn't eat on my own. I couldn't, you know, the nurses actually had to physically eat me. And I had to, like, go for the physical therapy again. It was, you know, it's like starting from a baby. So it was great to get out and you know, get back to my family, and then, you know, just to get on with my life. And that's when we moved to North Carolina, is right after that. And both our kids went away to college at that point.
Speaking of your family, what kind of an effect did that have on your wife in particular?
You know, it was very, very stressful, you know. For the first few days, they didn't know if I was going to make it. So she was on the phone all day long, you know, calling back and forth, just trying to get updates, you know. And it was touch and go. You know, they didn't know exactly what was wrong with me. It took them a few days to find the pulmonary embolism. They didn't know why my throat closed, but when they did x-rays, they saw a spot in my lung, and that's how they eventually found it, you know.
Okay, well, great. And I assume the prospects for the future are good as far as that situation is concerned. Are you still being monitored by the physicians in any way?
No, what? No. I mean, you know, they had me on blood thinners for a little bit. But now, for the most part, my health is, you know, I'm still trying to get stronger physically, you know, day to day. But it's... for the most part, things have been okay since then. You know, it's, you know, over here running my business, you know, Grateful Moving of Apex, and meeting a lot of great people, and keeping my mind, it's more about the mind. You can keep your mind busy and active and meet great people, and it makes it fulfilling for me that way. So it's been a great experience here. I really love the North Carolina hometown feel, small southern kind of, you know, it's just great over here. Just beautiful.
Well, Garner is that, even though, as you know, Garner is growing quite a bit. And for those of you who don't know, Garner is a small but growing community outside of Raleigh, which is the capital of North Carolina. Well, listen, Scott, it's great having you, and your story is amazing. And we hope maybe to have you again at some point to talk about some of the other experiences that you've had.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
And to our audience, I'd like to say that it's great for you to have been with us. And just keep in mind in closing that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, everything is good, happens for a reason. And there are more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.